Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Bless your name today. We never would have made it without you, Lord God. You woke us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, the mind to know who we are, who we belong to. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's our bright and morning star in a dark situation. Oh, we come to bless your name today. We lift up the White House to you today, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for doing a new thing in the White House, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, doing a new thing in Washington, D.C., Lord God. From top to bottom, corner to corner, Washington, D.C., Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Over in the nations, Lord God. Over in Africa, Lord God. Over in Mexico, Lord God. We come to tear down strongholds for your people today, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. We send sickness and disease to the dry place. In the mighty name of Jesus. We come to bless your name, Lord God. We thank you for doing a new thing in us, Lord God. We come to shake depression off. In the name of Jesus, we shake the depression off. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oppression, rejection, we shaking it off right now. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We come to praise you that your right hand is continually holding us up, Lord God. And we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. You know every hair on our head, Lord God. And we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name. We lift up tired bodies to you today, Lord God. We ask you to energize them right now, God. Strengthen them with your strength right now, God, that you're able to do, God. We say thank you for that one touch on today. Ah, we say thank you, Lord God. Oh, we thank you for your blood that you shed it on Calvary. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. Your sanctified blood that heals and delivers. We say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. And we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord God, for being our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thou name. Thou kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, we come to say thank you for bringing heaven to earth for your people today. We come to say thank you for the benefit today, Lord God. The benefit to see that we woke up this morning. And we say thank you. We forget not our benefits in you, Lord God. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory for our benefits. Because your word said you daily load us with benefits. You daily load us with what we need. And we say thank you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We just thank you for a breaker anointing on this line this morning, destroying every yoke and every burden in every household today, in every nursing home on today, in every hospital emergency room on today, in every hospital IC unit today. Oh, we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name, Lord God. And even in the midst of bereavement, Father, I thank you that salvation will come out of these bereavements right now in the mighty name of Jesus. It's a great opportunity for salvation to come forth, God. And we thank you for salvation coming out of these bereaved families right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So continue to keep your arms around them, God. Continue to keep your arms around them, God. Continue to put the right people in their path, Father. Hallelujah. And we bless your name for doing it right now, Lord God. Oh, we say thank you. Father, we love you. We need you. We're nothing without you. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So we thank you for your strength this morning. We thank you for Mother Sydney this morning. We thank you for the prophet this morning. Oh, we come to bless your name. We say thank you for doing that new thing for baby Michael, Lord God. We are going to say thank you for doing a new thing for baby Michael, Lord God. Let baby Michael's parents be a testimony, Lord God. Because your word said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let his family be a testimony how you're bringing their baby out. In the mighty name of Jesus, with his head up and his hands up, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. So we ask you to have your way today, Lord God, because we welcome you with open arms and a humble heart today, in the name of Jesus. And I say thank you. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Hallelujah. Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Sydney.
Good morning, Mother Gwen. Good morning. Thank and praise God for you on this morning for prayer. Powerful, powerful prayer. Amen. I mean, such a powerful prayer. I'm like, God, I said she could continue to go on in because you was in the vein. I tell you, I felt that anointing that was resting upon through you. Praise the Lord. I'm like, go on in, Mother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We thank and praise God for you, Mother. Amen. Blessings and honor. Amen. Good morning. Once again, I say good morning, Holy Spirit. This is Thursday morning. It's open forum. Amen. Open forum where you could come to this place and ask a question of myself, of Prophet Matthew, the visionary of the line. Amen. Glory to God. With a question, a comment, a praise report, a testimony. You might even have a poem. Glory to God. You could come in, words of encouragement, words of knowledge. Glory to God. On the conference line, all you have to do is start, fix your line, and come right on in. On the Blog Talk Radio, you just press 1 on your dial. Administrator Brian bring you right into the queue. But we just bless the Lord. We thank and praise God for you mothers out there. Glory to God. The first responders, all the nurses, all the caregivers, all those there, hallelujah, that are out there on the front line. Glory to God. Blessings and honor. Amen. To you. Amen. Those that are listening in the hospital, God bless you. May the blessing of the Lord be over you. May his angels of protection be with you. Blog Talk Radio across the nation, over in Sierra Leone, over in Africa. Amen. Zimbabwe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We call you out, Zimbabwe. Glory to God. Nigeria, we're calling you out this morning. Amen. In the United States, glory to God. We're praying for you. We're praying for Africa. We're praying for Haiti. Glory to God. We're praying, hallelujah, for leaving 194, 197 countries all over the world. We will pray. We will continue to keep praying for you because something is happening in the atmosphere, and it is worldwide. Glory to God. It is worldwide. I know Shekiah, God. It's a rumbling. It is a shaking. Hamanidio Shekiah, God. Hallelujah. And it is time that we get up, amen, and get about our Father's business. Glory to God. They said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible tells us that man shall always pray. We shall always continue to pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. This is the season that God is raising up. Amen. He is raising up the prophetic and prophets to speak his word. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. He said, let them know. I'm the Shekiah, God. He said, it's a showdown. I'm not the higher. He said, it's a showdown. Thank you, Lord. Against the prophets of God and against the prophets of Baal. Oh, bless the Lord, Jesus. And so he says, against the false prophets and the real prophet. He says, it's a showdown here. Glory to God. He said, the God that answered by fire. Hallelujah. Let that be God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So prophets, amen. Prophets, glory to God, the prophetic. Hallelujah. This is the season. Amen. God is raising the people up. Amen. Everyone should have a prophet in their life. Every church should have a fivefold ministry. Every church should have a prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is realigning. He's realigning the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He's realigning. Glory to God, because it's out of alignment. Thank you, Lord God. He said it's out of alignment, and he is realigning the body on today. Glory to God. And you know how when the body is out of alignment, glory to God, you don't walk straight. And the only thing I could demonstrate that is like, you know that commercial about the V8 and the person walks out of their house early in the morning and they kind of leaning over to the side, amen, because they hadn't had their V8. See, that's how God said the body of Christ is. Glory to God, because if we're not aligned aright, glory to God, we'll start, you'll be leaning unto your own understanding. You won't be acknowledging him in everything that you do. Glory to God. Your ears will be tickled by every winds of doctrine. Glory to God. Amen. You'll start adding to, amen, God's word. Taking from God's word. Amen. Not actually studying. The Shekiah, God, to show yourself approved unto God. Hallelujah. But we just bless the Lord for you on this morning. We praise God for you, amen. We pray the blessings of God be up on you today on this beautiful Thursday morning, amen. And we just bless the Lord. And on yesterday, the Lord, well, not just yesterday, all this week, the Lord had been dealing with me with love. Mm-hmm. And when I think about love, and I thought about First Corinthians 13, when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, amen, but he started in 12, amen, and 12 just continued in 13, where he talked about the church body having all these diverse gifts, amen, and when he's talking about these diverse gifts, he's talking about the spiritual gifts, amen. And he let them know that he would not have them ignorant. He would not have them unlearn about the spiritual gift that the Spirit of the Lord have given his people. Amen. And when he talked about the spiritual gift, because Paul was talking to the Gentile, and he let the Gentiles know that you were once carried away with all of these idols. You know, you was once carried away you know, with temptations and all of those things. But he said, dumb idols. You used to worship these dumb idols. But he said, I'm not gonna have you ignorant about the spiritual gift that God has given you, because they come from the Holy Spirit. He wanted them to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus Christ a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And he talked about the divers of gifts, but the same Spirit. We all have divers. He said there are divers of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit. Glory to God. And so as he was talking to them about these divers gifts and different gifts, he talked about the gift of administration. He talked about the gift of prophecy. He talked about the gift of miracles. He talked about the gift of discerning. He talked about divers tongues and the interpretation of the tongues. He talked about the gift of prophecy, and all of those gifts he was telling them. He let them know, he said all of these gifts that work, they all work in the self same Spirit. And so as we are in the body of Christ, this is 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just summarizing 12 before I get to 13, because 12 is a continuation for 13. 13 is a continuation for 12. And so anyway, when Paul was talking about, let me go back. Amen. Yes, I already did that. But anyway, Paul was saying that these spirit, amen, these gifts, amen, they all work in the self-same Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord will divide it to whoever he will. And so there are some might have one gift, some might have two, three, four, five. But it depends on, you know, it's up to the Spirit. But they all come from the same Spirit. Amen. So we're in the body of Christ, amen, and you're a born-again believer, and you have these gifts, amen. We all have the gifts, so there's no reason for us to be jealous of one another, amen. There's no reason for us, amen, to have bitter or resentment in our heart for one another, amen. The Bible lets us know, it says, let brotherly love continue. When we let brotherly love continue, that means we are in unity together. And so as Paul was talking to the body about the gift, and he let them know in 12:29, and he said, let me go to 12:27. He said, now ye are the body of Christ and member in particular. And God have set some in the church. He's let them know God has set some in the church. First apostle, secondly prophet, thirdly teacher. After that, miracle, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Then he asked them a question. He said, are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he said, but covet earnestly the best, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And as he go on over into 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Glory to God. He was saying, covet earnestly the best gift. He said, even though I speak in tongues of men, I can speak in tongues of angels and of angels. And if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, guess what? I am so empty inside. He said, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, when our children was young and they always would go in the kitchen, I know my children did, they would always go in the kitchen. They would get a pot, turn it upside down. They would have a big spoon, get that big spoon. And they would start beating on that pot. Beating on that pot. And I mean, it would be loud and be loud and be loud. I'm like, ooh, wee. Look, listen to that. It was just noise, but they liked it. But here it is. It was nothing in it. It was nothing in it, glory to God. Because when you banging on a pot, hallelujah, at the bottom, and depends on the thickness of the pot, you'll hear the hollowness of it, like an aluminum pot. You don't want no big old stew pot that was aluminum. Glory to God. You know, that was a cheap pot. Yeah, Mother sitting there one time had cheap pots, too, when I first started off. Amen. And so anyway, had the big old aluminum, and it was just, oh, my God, it would burn easily. You have to watch it. But anyway, those pots, the children, amen, would beat on. And it would be just loud, just a loud noise with nothing. And so this is what Paul is saying. It does not matter what gift you have. If you do not utilize that gift in love, he said, you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It does not matter if you prophesy. He said, he does not matter if you have the gift of tongues. If you have the gift of interpretation, he said, if you don't have love, you become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're hollow. You're empty. Amen. Your word is not worth anything, really. Your word's not worth anything because there's no love behind it. There's over 108 scriptures about love that's in the Bible. Amen. And this one we think about love. Amen. John 3:16. We always quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love. It was love that prompted Jesus to tell his father, to inquire of his father. And the Shekiah God, thank you, Lord. Father, prepare me a body. He said, I'll go and redeem mankind back unto you. It was love. It was love because Jesus saw the love that his father had for his own creation. Love, he said. He said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I can have all the faith in the world. I can move mountains, amen, great mountains that are in my life, glory to God. He said, but if I don't demonstrate love, he said, if I don't have love, if love does not abide down on the inside of me, if my life is not full with love, amen, with demonstration and power through the Holy Ghost. If I don't have love, I don't have that agape love, if I don't have that love, I'm nothing. He said, I am nothing. When he was telling them, he said, covet earnestly the best gift. Hallelujah. And that best gift is love. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and not have charity, it profits me nothing. It profit me nothing. It does not matter. I'll go out and feed the poor. I have the biggest food bank, and food bank, amen, and giving to the poor 2 times a week, twice a week, maybe 3 times a week. It does not matter if I go out and feed the homeless. Glory to God. It does not matter, amen, if I go out and clothe them. Glory to God. It does not matter if I go behind the prison wall to the detention center, to the hospital, the Oshakaya God. It does not matter. I do all of these great works. Amen. Glory to God. But have not love what I'm doing. He said, I'm nothing. He said, I'm nothing. Glory to God. And he said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, he said, it profits me nothing. He said, it profits me nothing. Glory to God. He said, if I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Whew. You just be burning and have not love. It profits you nothing, amen. It profits you nothing, amen, glory to God, because the works that you do will be tested by the fire, and it will be tested, hallelujah, to see if it stands up against the word of God, see if it will stand up against what? Love. Woo, glory to God. As Paul was saying, talking to the church of Corinth, he's talking to us today, glory to God. Because if you have not love, it means nothing. It means nothing if you don't have love in the body of Christ. It means nothing. The words and the gift, amen, the talent that God gives you, hallelujah, and you doing the demonstration and demonstrating in power, it means nothing. It works nothing, amen. It won't reach the old Shekiah, God, won't reach the masses of the people if you have not love. If you have not love, it profit you nothing. And then he go on and tell us, amen, what love is. Hallelujah. He said charity suffered long. Yes, charity suffered long. Amen. With your sisters and brothers, with your family member, with your co-worker. He said, love is kind. He said, charity envies not. You don't envy one another. You don't envy what your sister or brother has. You rejoice with them. You congratulate them. Oh, glory to God. He said, charity vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. Charity is not prideful. Love is not prideful. Amen. Love is not boastful. You don't boast in yourself. Hallelujah. You don't boast in yourself, but the Bible let us know that we're supposed to esteem others higher than ourselves. Let somebody else talk about you. Glory to God. You don't walk around here with pride written on your chest. Your chest all stuck out like Nebuchadnezzar, amen. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. But what did I get Nebuchadnezzar? What did it get him? It got him insanity. It got him insanity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because he forgot where he received his kingdom. So let us not forget, amen, where our help come from, where our blessings come from, amen, where the gift, amen, of whatever gift, the diversities of gift that God have given you, glory to God, where it have came from. It came from the Lord, amen, glory to God. And he said it's not puffed up. Woo! It's not puffed up, hallelujah. It's not puffed up. Amen. Glory to God. You're not puffed up. Glory to God. Everywhere you go, you got your big old line of entourage of people following you and covering you. Glory to God. People can't get next to you. Amen. They got to have an appointment. Oh, bless the Lord Jesus. They got, but there's nothing wrong. That is okay in its place. Amen. But if you being puffed up, amen, where your head is swelled up and nobody can't tell you anything. Glory to God. He said, Paul said, that's not love. That's not love. He's giving us a definition of what love is. He said, and what love is not. And so when we're in the body of Christ, guess what? We have to have love. We have to have that love. He said, covet. Woo! Hamidio Shakaya God. He said, covet. And I think about in one of the Ten Commandments, said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's ox, nothing of thy neighbor. But here Paul said, covet. Woo! Take a hold. Amen. Embrace it. Overtake it. He said, covet love. Covet that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Paul let him know what love does not do. Love is not unseemly. Does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek its own. It is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice. Amen. It says rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That is love. It beareth all things, hopeth all things, believe all things. It said charity never fail. Love never fail. Love never fail. Hallelujah. But he said, but whether there be prophecy, he said, they shall fail. He said, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. He said, but love, how many old Shekiah God? He said, love never fail. We know that love covers a multitude of sin. He said, but love never fail. Everything else, glory to God, will fade away. Everything else, glory to God, will vanish. Hallelujah. He said, knowledge will vanish. Amen. Prophecy will see. He said, but love will never fail. How many old Shekiah God? We must continue to cover earnestly, that gift of love, hallelujah, glory to God, because he let us know that we know in part and we learn in part. He said, but when that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Hallelujah, glory to God, when the return of Christ comes. Amen. Everything that we knew in part, hallelujah, is going to be done away because we're going to know everything in its fullness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he let us know. Paul said, when I was a child, he said, I spake as a child. He said, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. And so when he said, there's a time and a season, amen. He said, when I was a child, I did things as a child. I spoke as a child, glory to God. In my infancy, amen, in my infancy, in your infancy of utilizing the gift that God has given you, you did it as a child, glory to God. You spoke as a child. Glory to God. I'm in the Oshakaya God. I think about a born again believer. Amen. Hallelujah. Some when they start, when the Spirit of the Lord is baptizing them. Hallelujah. You know, now some people come forth. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the Oshakaya God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm in the Oshakaya God. Some are in the Oshakaya. Some people come forth with a full language. Woo! Yes, God. Some come forth with a full language, glory to God. And then some come on what? Just babbling. Some would just babble. Some would just babble, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And they'll come forth, yes, that one time. And then they would babble. Some would just babble. Because sometimes, most of the time, you have to develop that language. And when Paul was saying, when I was a child, he said, I spake as a child. I understood as a child because I had a childlike mind. I thought like a child. Oh, bless the Lord. He said, but when I came a man, I had to put away those childish things, glory to God. And I had to start seeing it in the ocean, God. Bless your name, Jesus. I had to start thinking like a man. I had to start acting like a man. I had to start taking on the responsibility of being a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I couldn't, when mountains came my way, hallelujah, when trouble came my way, I couldn't go and crawl up on the table. I couldn't run back home to my mother, glory to God. But I had to stand, amen. I had to take on those things as the man. I had to put on a man's strength, amen. I had to speak. My language had to change, glory to God. And it had to have that maturity, amen. And so these gifts, amen, that is operating on the inside of me, glory to God. You have to allow the Holy Ghost to develop those gifts on the inside of you because he's the one that's giving you these gifts. Glory to God. But in the infancy of the gifts, amen, Idiotakaya God, you're doing things as a child, hallelujah, because you're unlearning. You don't know what to do with it or how to utilize it, amen. But the Bible let us know that in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. Glory to God. God has given us the Holy Ghost, amen, to be our teacher, to be our guide. Amen. He came, amen, upon this earth, amen, to teach us all things about who? Him that sent him. The Christ that sent him. Glory to God. Jesus is the one that sent him. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Oh, glory to God. And he said, so he put away those childish things. He put all those childish things away, and he said, I became a man. Glory to God. And he let us know, amen. In verse 13, he said, verse 3, he said, now we see through a glass. Dark, he said, now we see through a glass. He said, darkly. But being face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I have, even as also I am known. You become, you start to develop, and then you become who you are, amen. You start understanding, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You start understanding the gift, amen, that God has given you down on the inside of you because the gift that God has given you is not for yourself. It is for the world, amen. And here the Paul said, you see through a glass. And I think about, thank you, Lord. I think about it. Then he said, darkly. He said, yes, that glass is darkly. Because what? You're looking through a glass, amen. We have various glass. You have a window pane glass. Amen, that you're looking outside the window. And when you're looking through that glass, thank you, Lord, you just see a reflection of yourself. You see everything else outside, but you don't see yourself fully. But when you have another glass, and that glass is a mirror, when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. You see yourself. He said, now I know in part. He said, but then shall I know even as also I am known. You said, as I am known, I have became, once you look in that mirror, you start to develop, you start to know who you are. When you're looking through the eyes, looking through your eyes and see, who am I? Who am I? Amen. Do you see the Christ in the inside of you? And verse 13, he let us know, hallelujah. He said, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, he said, but the greatest of these is charity. He said, the greatest of these is love. Amen. Glory to God. And here Paul was admonishing the church of Corinth, amen, the body. He was talking to the body of Christ. Amen, hallelujah. He's talking to us on today about love. Amen. That is the Deosakaya God. That is the greatest gift, amen, one can have, that which is love on this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Amen. Paul was admonishing them. He said earnestly. I like that scripture. He said covet earnestly. Hallelujah. Covet earnestly. Oh, bless your name. Covet earnestly. Because what he said in verse 31, amen, of 12:31, 1 Corinthians 12:31, he said, but earnestly, amen. I didn't say all of what I said 1 through 30. He said, when he said, but, he said, forget about all of that. He said, but covet earnestly the best gift. He said, cover earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He said, cover earnestly the best gift. He said, and that best gift is what? It's love. Love is the best gift of all. Hallelujah, Shekinah God. We bless the Lord on this morning. Hallelujah, glory to God. We praise God for you. Amen. On this morning, if you have a comment, a question, yes.
I'm going to comment this morning.
Amen.
We're talking about the love and how love is not puffed up and not vaunting itself.
Yes.
And I want to get the faith or our callers and our listeners this morning. A lot of times we grab scriptures. We go through, I have a sticky note that's been in my Bible for like years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a topic that the Lord had given me years and years ago. It says love is a serious matter.
All right.
And
I like that.
And it was one of the scriptures I have, 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 14. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And even though we said it was something about asking, but the thing about it is, because it's a serious matter, we have to go back and examine our love measuring stick.
Amen.
Because when we come to God and we asking him for these things, do you not think that God is not going to examine us and see if we align into his will before we get something?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is we think about our own will. Yes. And we think about our own self when we have our children and our children come and get up and she says, oh, well, you asking me for this, but did you clean the room? Did you do your chores? Did you do all your homework and do what the teacher said? And so if we ask our children this, what make us not think that our Heavenly Father does not do us the way?
Amen.
We come and ask God for a laundry load of things.
I tell you.
Then we don't never think that he goes back and he check us out and see if we're worthy to receive the things that we ask for.
Amen.
Like, you know, somebody would say,
right.
She's meddling. Yeah, she's going meddling again. Oh, I'm going to be a troublemaker this morning.
All right.
And so when we do this, because love is a serious matter. And I don't think, you know, and this is I'm being comical this morning, but I'm showing up being serious. And that how love is a serious matter, I can only talk about Carlina. Not to buff Carlina, like you said, because love don't show itself unseemly. But what Man. About, hallelujah, when my children were growing up, I didn't like them to not be arguing with one another, like fighting with one another. But what I would do is if they was not getting along, I would make them hold hands. And if one go down the hallway, the other one had to go down the hallway. If they go out, they thought I was just didn't pay attention to what they were doing. But so what, if they was really mad at each other and they was arguing and fighting, I would make them hold hands till they apologize to each other and then tell each other that they love them. And they can't do it just real quick and I love you. No, I wanted them to just really think. I said, no, you just did that so you didn't have to hold her hand or hold his hand. That don't work. And normally it was my oldest son and my oldest daughter is the one that normally was getting into it all the time. So I said, So they would always take a bathroom break.
All right now.
So they wouldn't have to hold it. But the thing about the matter is I had to teach them how to love each other despite of what was the matters was going through that they were going through, why they disagreed or whatever, that they had to learn to communicate and, and get this thing together, not compromise, but to just come to a resolution of the situation. But they had to show love and how to do it. And this is what I see, and when you talk about love, how it does not act unseemly. Many times folks may pluck on our last nerve, as we say, or they get on our nerves, or they do something to make us up or whatever. We have to remember that the love, because love is such a serious matter, God covered us before we even came into the acknowledgement of how much he loved us. And when we look at love covers a multitude of faults and sins, look how many faults we had. Look how many sins we had. And God loved us so much that he covered those things. He solved the problem. Because he said he's so loved. So love put together is solved. Yeah. He solved the problem that he gave his life for us that we could be able to understand how it's a serious matter that this thing we call L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
Love over all, various, everything. And it covers up something. So we have to understand that when we look at this and say, when we come and asking God for something, when we come to get our petition, he even tell us, if we come to bring our petition before him, and if we think we have an art with our brother, we're supposed to go get that together. We don't say, we just keep on praying, Lord, you go, forgive, here we go, forgive me for whatever I've done wrong. We know we wrong.
We know we're wrong.
I'm laughing, but I'm serious at the same time. We know we're wrong. We know we have done somebody wrong, but we just get down and we ask God for forgiveness. But we don't never go ask that other person for it to forgive us that we done wrong, that we done talked about, that we done said about their name. This is a serious matter. And then Bishop teaches prayer. He said them prayers are just going up to the ceiling, running around in the attic. Because why? We have not done things the proper way, the way that God would have us to do it. And we just try to run and just, I know God is going to forgive me, and he going to, yes, he is. But there is a proper way. But the word of God outlines it for us. He said, thou art unexcusable, O man. But we can't think that we're going to get away with this thing and think that everything going to be all hunky-dory and ice cream and lolly-dolly. It ain't happening. It's not happening. And we got to do it. We got to do it God's way or no way. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We have to do it God's way. We can't continuously think that we're going to do it our way and we're going to get away, as we say, with murder. It's not going to happen because we as a people, and I said we, I'm including me, when we don't do things the way that God wants, don't think it's not a consequence that come along with the action.
Yeah.
We can't serve him and do what we want and not follow his word. So the next time when we go before the throne of God, let us check ourselves out. Let us make sure that our love measuring stick, which is the word of God, is up to par. And see, if we are up to par, then he said if we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Our love will be in proper perspective, the way that God wants. Not shady, not full of shenanigans.
Yes.
Not sometime up and sometime down. Not being trying to be, you know, we want to decide who we going to love and who we not going to love. Because he said he loved the whole world.
Yeah.
He loved the whole world. And when you think about the whole world, Mother, what we have in this world, we got some shady folks. We got some liars. We got some backbiters. We got some murderers. We got some fornicators, adulterers. We got good folks, bad folks, in-between folks, upside-down folks, inside-out folks. You name it, we got it. But he loves the whole world, and his love is covering a multitude of false deceivers. Because if it wasn't covered, trust me, he would be disintegrated by now. I'm going on mute. I don't see it too much. God bless you,
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Dr. Wills. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, I like that. Love is a serious matter. Amen. And we have to think about it. Even though Paul, he said, covet. Amen. And he tells us the definition and things what love don't do. But we have to live that. We have to exercise that love. Glory to God. Because when we exercise that agape love, that's a love that is so unconditional. You know, I love you in spite of. I love you even when you don't even know me and you, put my name out there on the highway. Hallelujah, glory to God. I remember, and it is something, I don't understand how a person say that I don't like that person, but they don't even know that person. Amen. So it's something on the inside of you because you don't even know that person. You ain't never met that person. Glory to God. I've experienced that. And I'm just like, this is ludicrous. And I'm like, and we're supposed to be born again?
Well,
and you
say they might be picking up the spirit that's inside of them.
There he is.
Hello.
And
let me just say they might.
I know.
How you gonna, like you said, how you gonna walk up on somebody? The first thing you say, okay, there's something about them. This is the difference in discernment. But you just gonna walk up on somebody and say right up, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Has it ever occurred to you that they might not like you neither? Uh-oh, I'm going on mute.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Because I'm just like, what? I said, God, this is so crazy. I tell you, Mother Sydney, you know, and one thing I realized that Dr. Wilkes, that when you have an anointing upon your life, what it is that enemy that's inside of them see that anointing. It's gonna try to they're gonna try to deter and what destroy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Ghost said abort. Try to abort the works that's down on the inside of you. amen, abort, amen, get rid of, you know, get rid of, amen, kill it, amen. Try to abort it, amen, that's on the inside of you, so it will not come to plan, it will not come to pass. But we have to continue, amen, even though when they want you dead, you still got to love them. Hallelujah. Even though when they put a plot out against you, amen, they put the trap down, put traps down before you, amen, even though they want to stone you, you still got to love them. You still have to love no matter what. We still have to love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here it is, the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness puts an APB out on your anointing. Thank you, Lord God. The kingdom of darkness puts an APB out on your anointing. All cause is going down. Something is going down. Something is going down. Amen. We got to put an APB out on their anointing. We got to put an ABP out on their generation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, Lord, you're my strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. We bless the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If you have a couple
of mothers, you know what?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Some things that my daughter told me one time. She said, I do love them, but that don't mean I have to like them. That doesn't make no sense. She said, I love them because that's what I'm supposed to do because she's my scholar. She said, but that don't mean I have to like them. And so she explained, she said, what I mean is I don't like the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
that's right.
If you think about it, we love the individual, but we don't like the spirit that's inside of them.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
That's a difference. We don't like the spirit. Mm-hmm. We don't like how they operate. But we don't have
right.
to love that. We don't love, we love that person. But we don't like that spirit that's going on inside of them. And when I think when we get a good understanding of this,
mm-hmm.
it will help us to put first thing in place. Because a lot of times people, they're separating, you know, they're looking at the person. Now, there is a time that we have to do some separation. I'm not talking about like
Amen.
That. But if
Amen.
We're not careful, we will call our love for the individual to turn to hate.
That's right. That's right.
Because we don't understand. We don't separate the spirit and the individual, the natural part of them. We have to understand. We have to separate the soul and the spirit from that in
that's
the
right.
person. So that spirit is operating, but you got to love that soul. Because that soul,
Amen.
When you love that soul, you're not going to want to, God said he don't want none of us to perish. And that's why he covered, he came and formed himself in a body so that he could be that sacrifice for us because he's loving our soul. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is, he loves our soul. He doesn't like the actions and the attributes of what we do. But he loves
right.
our soul. And that's the reason why when we go back, when this body, spirit is outside the body, that's why the soul, and people can't get this, all souls belong to God.
That's
anything
right.
part of our soul. But he'll show use our body. Come on, somebody. You have to understand.
Hallelujah. Right,
you have to understand he'll use our body. And so our body will cause the spirit inside of us to do wrong, okay? Let's look at this operation that goes along. Our body will cause us to have our that spirit that we allow. That's why I love what he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be them? We have to do, we have to understand that if this is a choice matter, and I'm always doing like the pastor said, we can't help but everything that we do, we have to go back to the garden. It's always about what happened in the garden. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. God gives us free will. Some things that we can do. We can say yes. We can say no. But when we consume with our own lust, and when lust is when we conceive, when we go on, our lust causes us to sin. And then when it brings forth death. Am I in the word? That calls us to get out of the love factor. Oh, come on, somebody. Love will make us obey. Look at the scene in the garden. Long as love was operating, they was love. Adam was in fellowship. Love caused him to be in fellowship. But when he didn't love, he fell out of fellowship because why? He became disobedient. Disobedience is not love. That's why I said love is a serious matter. We can't just look at it like, ooh, and an eye. Kissy, 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 and huggy, huggy, huggy. No, it's deep. Ooh, I have to laugh at myself. Jesus, help me today. I'm telling you, this is coming fresh off. I got and no, you hear me? Except the one that love is a serious matter. It's not kissy, 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 huggy, huggy, huggy. But love causes us to obey. And let's go back. Let's go back to the conversation. He said, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, you will keep my commandments."
Yeah.
That don't Ooh, Lord have mercy, Jesus. That's how serious love is, because it carries such a factor that it will weigh on us to allow us, our spirits, to be convicted, that our souls could be either set free or it will be in bondage. My God, some glory. That's a message right there that can shout on forever in life. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Well, man,
I think I done said too much. I'm going back on mute again.
Thank you, amen. Bless the Lord, amen. Talking about love, amen. But Paul said, what comes earnestly, you know, that gift, amen. Good morning, Prophet Matthew, amen, on this morning.
Yes, good morning.
Amen. Good morning, Mother. Good night, folks.
Amen. If you have a question for my man, hallelujah, Prophet Matthew, on the conference line, you just start 6 your line and come right on in. On the Blog Talk Radio, God bless you, amen. Just press 1 on your dial, Administrator Brian will bring you in the queue, amen. You might have a comment, a poem, a praise report, word to God, knowledge. Hallelujah, you just come. God bless you this morning, Prophet Matthew.
God bless you this morning as well, Mother Sidney and Evangelist Wilson. But thanks to God on today, a good hot topic to be talking about or discussion. It's something that is much needed to talk about, and I'm enjoying it as well as listening in on this particular topic from 1 Corinthians 13. But, you know, I think you guys are supposed to say that as well as you were, that obedience creates such a powerful setup for love present itself. And one of the greatest attributes of Father is his love for us and his love towards us, in us and through us. And as people of God, man, that love, man, it changes the whole entire situation of our life when we truly have it and we embrace it. You embrace it. I'm telling you that to have the love of God inside of us, man, is a powerful tool and presence to have in our life. And that's what makes relationship with God so powerful and our connection with people so great. When we have that type of love, Mother, I'm telling you, this is a really awesome topic here for a discussion today. It is. Yeah. I'm reminded of some of the things I wrote in my book, Love the Unfinished Chapter.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel, when we feel we have feel that we have reached a pivotal place in love, there's more of it. When we feel we reach that place, there's more of it. Because of the greatness and the goodness of the Lord, his love is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, all under the sovereignty of who he is. So that's powerful. That's powerful, the power of the Father's love towards us and giving of himself towards mankind. And this is a powerful subject here. Powerful moment. And you and you all are stuck. Y'all hit me right on the head. And many people, and it makes you question your position in the kingdom when it comes to talking about this subject and this subject matter. Do we really have it towards each other? In the body. Amen. That's a powerful thing. Powerful. Powerful. Amen. Anyone else have a question for Mother and myself? There's nothing at all to that. You think of God. With the Spirit of the Lord God up there.
So one thing with Paul was really admonishing with the to the body of Christ about these. One thing that I like, he said in 13:7, he said where he said love, you know, he said beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, doeth all things. He said charity never fails. Mm-hmm. He said, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall see. There be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Amen. Love is going to go throughout eternity because God is love.
Yeah.
It's going to go out to eternity. Amen. And that's why it's so important and we stress it to the body and we have to live it. Amen. We have to demonstrate love because love is an action word. I was telling them all the time. I said, stop telling me you love me. You love me. I said, show me. I'm like, show me that you love me. I said, a drunk on the street, a drunk on the street could come up and say, I love you. Anybody can say, I love you. I said, but can you demonstrate it, though?
That's it.
Can you actually demonstrate it, amen, towards that person? And there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong with saying, I love you. But sometimes you need to demonstrate that love.
Gotcha.
And many times in love, it's always the little bitty things. Like I tell my children, Mother Sitting can always talk about herself. I tell my daughter when Mother's Day came, amen, and I'm like, okay, you know, she gave me a good gift. I said, but where my card at? She said, oh, Mom, I left that card on the dresser. I said, okay, go get it. I said, it's a little thing. I said, you give me all the money in the world. I said, but sometimes, you know, I said, it's a little thing. I said, I'm expecting that card. I said, I want to read what the card say.
Yeah.
That's what I've been looking forward to. I've been looking forward to the words that's on the inside because many times people is not able to really express their sincerity from their heart. Amen. But you can always find a nice card. And it says it all. It says it all. And so anyway, and she said, Mom, she said, I knew I had forgotten. She said, that's why I gave you something extra. She said, that compensates the card. I said, no, it doesn't. I said, I thank you for the extra. I said, but it ain't compensating no card.
There you go.
And so I just bless the Lord. And and it is true, you know, because it's love. It's love. But when Paul talked about, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, did things as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, he said, I put childish things away.
Yeah.
It come away, you know. And so when you, and it's the same way, thank you, Lord. He said, it's the same way with your love.
That's
amen.
It.
Thank you. He said, your love has to develop.
Right.
Love develops. Glory to God. It develops. Hallelujah. In its infancy, glory to God. It did childish things. Hallelujah. And I think about, I didn't go that way with that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But love, amen, covers a multitude of sin.
It does, mother. Sure does.
Multitude of sin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Think about it. I said it earlier, John 3:16, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. God so loved who? The world. Everybody that's in it. He loved his creation. And his son in heaven, amen, saw how much his father loved his creation and said, Father, prepare me a body.
That's it.
I'll go. He sacrificed his life.
Yeah.
Amen. He came from his glory. Amen. Redeem mankind back to the Father.
Back to the Father. That's it.
Yes, back to the Father. Hallelujah.
That's it, Mother.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And so if anybody
good morning,
Good morning, Prophet.
Good morning, man of God.
Good
morning. Yes, sir. Sit here listening in, y'all. I was thinking, Mother City, you teach us from a place of love, and I was thinking on this week. I said, Lord, how is it that our parents, grandparents, and their parents, when you talk about love and from a place of discipline, we say how the enemy has tricked us and messed many of us up down through centuries and decades. When you talk about love and the love that God has given us, you know, as you said, that word is an action word, and it covers. I'm thinking about how our parents, now the younger generation, they don't really experience it, but we experienced it, our parents and their parents and so on. But I had realized where it come from. Don't you know that I was thinking about, and Dr. Wills brought it out when I said about going back to the garden. That's where the power of the tree, to come out power of the tree. But love, don't you know that when our parents used to beat us, thought about the switch. I don't know if many of you remember the switch. The switch where they go get off that tree and they peel them leaves back off it or whatever it is. They got briars on it or whatever. And they used to beat us because we did something wrong. I guess they were calling themselves discipline us. But I felt that was an oppressive sound. That really wasn't love because they were about to kill us. Some got beat with belts, switches, and stitching cords. All that crazy stuff that they were doing, I guess that, you know, the old saying say, you spare the rod, you spoil the child, but that's really, it's not really scripture from that place. I'm just thinking about when you were talking about love, I said, that really love, they about to kill us, they beating us, leaving marks on our body with those switches, whips all over our legs and back. I said, now, they took on the oppressor sound, but oppressor, that's what they were doing to our people. They were beating them. So I said, man, look how we was messed up. Our culture was messed up. We take certain things on and we consider that love. Now, I don't understand about disciplining a child, but it's a certain in disciplining them that they can, you know that we still love them.
Yeah,
not to
yeah.
a place where we get so angry and frustrated because mom and daddy beat us. They beat us with a switch. They beat us with a belt, a stitching cord. They like trying to kill us, beat us with a broom. That ain't love. It's funny now, but we just think about how we were so messed up by the enemy. I know they didn't know no better because they were just taught them and what they seen about what discipline was all about. I mean, we got some serious whoopings. They call them whoopings, but to me, I feel now, thinking about it now, going back to the power of that tree, y'all got from the wrong tree. That tree, you got those switches from that tree, and you trying to kill us. I thank God for your teaching this morning, Mother Sydney. I'm just laughing now because, man, some things you got to laugh about to keep from crying. My Lord. Woo. And we still, all the weapons we got, Mother Sydney and Dr. Matthew, we still strayed away. We did some wild things, but still we remember them seeds, the good seeds that were sown unto us, though. We remember that. But them whoopings, God knows that you don't want to get them, but you keep getting them over and over and over again. Not only are you getting them from your parents, you're getting them from the people in the neighborhood, too.
Amen.
But I just was thinking about that. I don't know. It's just how we sometimes get so messed up by the enemy through certain things that we call love and use it in the wrong manner that really scars a person, hurt a person, or make a person feel like they're not loved. But I just thank God for your teeth. I just want to bring that out, Mother Cindy, just get us laughing about something this morning. But it's still a reality. It's a reality that, amen, that the enemy really has lied to us about the love of God. And we know that God loves us, and I believe that he instilled that in the family relationship as well, and then in the relationship when it comes to ministry-wise, church, we see that same attack or a tactic from the enemy that he come to still try to separate us, destroy us, got us fighting each other, got us competing against each other, all of that. That's not love of God. You really talk about that love, it covers so many areas that if you really have that love, it is powerful how that we have to even pray and love our enemy. That love is so powerful because love can cover a multitude of sin. It's powerful, but many people don't understand the authenticity of love and what that word really means. Like you said, it's an action word, and we got to put it in its proper places of what it really means. When love, when it comes between a husband and a wife, that intimate time, love between our family, love between our brothers and our sisters, you know, in the body of Christ. Many people don't understand it from that place because, what, the trickery of the enemy. Trickery of the enemy, so thank you, Mother Cindy. I just want to come in and share that.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor.
Absolutely.
That's so
good point.
Yeah, we can laugh about it now, Prophet.
Yes, man.
That was no whooping, no beating.
That's it. Yeah. And a lot of times they didn't know better, but you know that one, that part of the scripture says it in First Corinthians 13:10. He said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away with. And when that which is perfect is come, maturity, understanding, and clarity, then everything we did without knowing what love is all about. Then, when that which is perfect, or God's perfect will, come into our life, then decisions we made, things we done, people we mistreated, the way we disciplined our kids, it changes the mindset of us, because perfect love casts out fear. And we don't whip our children from the place of our pressure, pain, hurt, anger, disappointment, past relationship, what someone did to us, or what we experienced, or how we feel, or the way we thought, because that's in that mindset. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord God kicks in and make us see him for who he really is, not from a slave mentality or a slave mindset, but we see God for who the Lord sees us. And that requires parents. That requires us to walk in the spirit of love through forgiveness or repentance and getting it right. Love makes you get it right. Makes you step out and get that thing right. And a lot of people don't want to get it right. And that's why we still have a lack of it, because it makes you get it right. The Department of Love was powerful over the Department of Foolishness and Pride, because the love makes you behave. When you have love, you don't misbehave. You behave. And that's the power of love, relationship, how we treat ourselves. Because then that which is perfect is come, things of God. We don't live, we don't breathe, we don't act unhumanly, because the power of love brings it out of us. It brings it out of us. We can love our enemy, but not be fooled by our enemy. Because as believers, there's a requirement from God to our love. There's a certain requirement for us as believers, and that is our love don't make us backslide. So we don't have to stay in stuff and say it's love, because that ain't love. That's a department of one of the ancient goddesses of what they call love. But see, love don't make you go backwards on the Holy Ghost and on the things of God. It don't make you go backwards and say, well, I did it because I loved them. I did it. No. You did it because you stayed lust is still operating. Because, see, the love of God don't make you operate out of the characters of God. Because, see, there's things in the kingdom of God that require us to be like and Christ required us to do. And the Bible, that's love. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey, Prophet, look at this, your Mother Sydney. Just think about from our culture and our community. We have seen it for a very long time. Been out there and done it ourselves. But just look at our community, our culture, how if we say we really have love from the way that Mother Sydney worded, look at the killing of our young black men, even now young women and ladies are really dying in our communities because of violent gunfire or, you know, territory. They're against each other. That's not the love of God. And destroying each other, how the enemy has set it up, when it came from no oppressor sound, from what they have instilled in our people. Because in our community, I don't care what community or state or city you go to, just by every community has what they call a bad community, ghetto, the hood, or whatever, where you got high rate of crime, violence, and all this different stuff that's going on. We have to know that's from the enemy, and that's not the love of God, the love that we have for our brother. How can I just walk right out there and just take my brother's life for no reason? I mean, I call it a Cain and Abel syndrome, but go right out there and just take my brother's life for no reason. Even though I had that mindset when I was in the world, but I didn't care about my neighbor, care about my brother and my sister doing crazy things because I wasn't what? I wasn't in the right relationship with God. I wasn't. You brought it out just a few minutes ago, Prophet, about when that which is perfect is come. That's why we see when it comes from a demographic standpoint that our culture, man, we really have been enslaved. And we feel like somebody owe us something when God has given us everything we need, but we're sitting there killing each other, taking each other's lives, robbing and stealing from, you know, our own people, won't celebrate or patronize or help our own people. That ain't the love of God that he's given us, the love that we should have each other. I mean, we see it in our own families now. Families coming against each other, jealous of each other, pulling each other down, tearing each other down, stabbing each other in the back. That ain't the love, man. So this is a powerful topic, man, and it has to really be addressed to so many people, and then some people still ain't going to get it because they've already got their mind made up. But it's still, people need to experience and know the love of God. God loves you. If you can't love yourself, then how can you love me? So I understand that because, again, the oppressive sound put into our communities, our cities, have really caused a lot of people to walk in anger, hate, frustration, so they take it out on each other. That's what I see, and that's what we're experiencing in this day we're living in now. I know in some cities and areas, the crime rate and the killing is more, you know, prevalent than others, but we see it. We see it on a day-to-day basis, and it's sad, but, I mean, all we know we can do is pray. But if people's mind ain't not willing to change and they can experience the love of God, it's almost like we just keep repeating the process from generation to generation. It just keep repeatedly going on and on and on. But I just thank God for this word this morning on Mother Sydney. As love, it is the key. I mean, even when you know people is trying to take you out, people are trying to plot and plan against you, and that's just that, having that love of God in your heart, we know that it will cover a multitude of sins. So I just want to come back in and say that part.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen. That's so true. Apostle Simmons, that's so true. But that comes because of what was designed by the oppressor or designed by the system, the slave system that was created. And we carry century-old forces in us. And it's been sent down to generations, the difference between house slave and field slave. It's been sent down to train how we should respond to each other culturally. Towards each other. That's what the difference between a white community, they call it a neighborhood. Our community, we call it a hood because we don't, they train us to not have neighbor in our hood. They train us to have the hood but not the neighbor. So we don't become neighbor with each other. We become a hood. And then under the hood, whatever comes from our head makes our community become what it is. So we use the term hood. They call it neighbor because the Bible says, treat your neighbor as yourself. But if we don't have a neighbor or connected to our hood, whatever comes from our head, we treat our neighbor. So we get the word hood from that. And all of these ancient spirits and all these demonic things that come from these Jewish organizations and people, I hate to just put it like that and call it what it is, that have infiltrated our community and infiltrated our movement. See, in the 60s, these, what we call, what white America called gangs, in the 60s with us, they were not gangs. They were men who started organizations to protect our community, to protect our black women, our boys, our girls, to protect us, to create food depository in our community, to protect us, because we didn't have nothing to protect us during those times. And so under J. Edgar Hoover and under these plans that they had through the what they call integration, which was a big joke to people, but people don't want to talk about that, was a big joke to us because we were taught to integrate. And even Dr. King, that it ain't even videotape one in the conversation in that part, he mentioned the issue about integration. He wished he wouldn't have done that or pushed for it because what integration did for us, it took us from our neighborhood, from black businesses in our neighborhood, from black school teachers being in our neighborhood, black principals in our neighborhood, black stores in our neighborhood. We had all of these things in our neighborhood. Look at Tulsa. We were the Black Wall Street in the 30s. When 1929 depression broke out, we were prospering, a million-dollar industry in our neighborhood. So we were taught to go into our neighborhood and infiltrate it. Now, isn't it interesting when we have major violence in our city? Just think about all the major cities right now in America. Most of the major cities in America are black, ran by black mayors. So all of a sudden, these major black cities have high crime rates. The game changes. See, the game changes now. So the white people, they know how to put those black masks on, put all that stuff on, get in those Black Lives Matter movement and push agendas. And we don't even know these people. They can talk our language. They learned our community. They became part of our community. They studied our community. They researched our community. And then they come in, and we embrace. See, we still love people no matter how they mistreat us. We still embrace it. You know we have to have love. When the track record of Vice President Biden don't look nothing like the favor of black America. But because of, well, I'm going to say, what they thought is love, we look at the track record. Let's look at the track record of this president that's sitting there. Just look at his track record. But we don't know his track record because we don't study history. So if we study history, we'll know the power of the love that we have towards each other. If we study the history of our people, our original people, not this short-term people, but in that we're saying that, the word of God said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away. We don't become foolish. We don't become ignorant. That word in actual Greek means unlearned. When you look at it, when the word of God says, don't become ignorant of Satan's device. Don't become foolish into the thing. Because, see, love will not let you compromise you. See, love, and another thing about the love of God, the love of God ain't going to let you just go along with stuff. See, that's what we've been taught on they love us. No. We watched Roots. Roots. Everybody, I remember Roots in 77 and 76, 77, 78, all those movies. So we watch things, and we follow those things what we watch. Now, if we bring it to the church world, so from the perspective of the church world, and we look at it from those church world perspective, then we have to really examine ourselves, because most of what we see in the church world is really religion. Religion, religiosity, religious ways, a form of godliness, the way we treat each other, religious. Here we are, body of believers. The first thing we think of each other is always something negative. We're discerning, no, you're suspicious of another saint. Another saint can meet another saint and become connected to it. We get a jealousy, insecurity. We're always on the edge towards each other in the body. If somebody new shows up, it's a different outlook. Why? Because when that which is perfect is cut, then what we assume or think or feel or gather, that changes. But see, when you have the real love of God, just because I'm from another denomination, another organization, or another church location, that shouldn't change the love I have for you or the love I have for God's people. That should even show more the love I have for my brothers and sisters. So the question is, do we really have love, or do we have a lot of religion in us, trained to do what we do? We've been trained to respond the way we respond. Great subject, Mother. Good point, Apostle Simmons. And thank you, Evangelist Brooks. And you know, and those who are listening in, I know this is, a lot of times people listen in and they just listen and learn and gather from this place. Because I'm one who don't push people to say something that they don't know. But if they do know it, they say something. There's a question they have. Ask your question. But I'm finding the more we teach on Thursday, the more we share, a lot of people just don't know the power of what love is all about. What we only learn love from is a boyfriend, a girlfriend perspective. That's what we really learn love from, what we know love from. He's my boyfriend, he's my girlfriend. Love carries a concept of the Father. I won't even call the concept. Love carries such a sovereignty of the Father that most people cannot add up to that, because there's so much sin that's in people's lives or in people's ways that it keeps you from connecting to the realness of what love is all about. But if we truly had the type of love that the Father requires, it will require the world, the earth realm, to live totally different when it comes to speaking on his behalf. I shared Tuesday night with the people talking about we've been authorized to handle him. That's a very powerful thing. And I actually picked up that word that night, that day, Mother Sidney, and saying, you've been authorized. You know, I was sitting there in my hotel room, and I spent 80% of my time there doing the traveling. in my hotel, you know, between the book and resting when I can, phone conversation, very little of it, and just meditation. The power of God is so great. The more you get intimate with the Lord, man, the more you become powerful. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something about the power of the love of God. The God love is so powerful that when you display it, it can draw or drive a person away. It'll draw or drive you away. Because what love will do, love won't let you follow a lie. Love won't let you walk around being abused. Love won't let you compromise who it is. Love don't let you sit in the house and you dying in your house and, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and being abused by a person. You know, love, it's an action. See, love don't let you sit there and your life being turned off and your children being messed up and you're sitting there and a man ain't doing nothing and he can work and provide for his family. That ain't love. You follow what I'm saying? Love don't let an individual be disrespected and tormented and tore apart. That's not the love of God. See, God love is so powerful, it'll make you respond. And see, the love is so great. It's so powerful, that love. See, if a man, woman, person love another person, you're not going to let them be mistreated. You're not going to let them die. You're not going to let them suffer. You're not going to let them be without. That's the love of God. Yeah, and I think somebody said, Mother, you said it when you were talking about your daughter with the car, you know, with that car. Look, that love ain't going to display anything else when they know you want a car.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You want the car. That's what you used to get, so you can lead it. But some people, they're not going to say it out of their mouth. So that car is action. And you want that car because it's representative. Man, you know, I got to have that car. Well, here it is. My mother, Mother Matthew, she had a lot of us. So she displayed her love in a different way. That don't mean my mother don't love me. It's just that she displayed it in a different way. She came up in a different time. So the way she loved me is different. But I don't define, I don't, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. That's powerful right here. It's good right here. We try to define people love by our conviction or the way we love people. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because when that which is perfect is come, that which is imparted done away with. You know, I was Tuesday night when I ministered to the young lady Tuesday night who for more people. You know, she was actually shot. She was shot twice. She was shot twice that previous week before she came to the service. I think 2 weeks before she came to the service, she was shot. She was shot in her stomach twice. One of the bullets, they got out, and the other one is still in the body. But as I was ministering to God's people, now for somebody who was a believer, that's a false believer, they wouldn't understand the love I had when I ministered to people. That's why I tell people now, you know, as a pastor, as a leader, I have a certain type of love for people. And if I married the wrong person, they wouldn't understand my love. You know what I'm saying, Mother Sydney? Because my love is different. I have a different type of love. If they don't understand that, they'll be in church squinting in their seat, turning all different ways, acting all kinds of ways, all unruly in the church, because they'll never understand my love. Because my love is different. I deal with people in a different type of love that I have for a person. So you have to have the love of God have to be displayed in your life. And the people who are connected to the love of God have to see that type of love that you have. And then you can't worry about what people are trying to define to you as love, but they may not have the love that you have. But when that which is perfect comes, then the love of God is displayed. Love what beareth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things. Love never fails. It never fails. But it's not crazy. It's not foolish. It's not ignorant. That's the power of it. All right, I'm going to leave that right there. We'll take a commercial, and we'll come right back after this commercial. But, Mother Sidney, thank you so much. Very, very powerful topic, Mother. Very powerful topic. Thank you for releasing that, Mother. It's powerful.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestorethelletteru.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless.
The book is now available.
The book is now available.
The ultimate read.
Prophet Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD, presents
Love, the Unfinished Chapter.
The brand new read by Prophet Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD. It's available now.
Love, the Unfinished Chapter.
Prophet Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD, presents Love, the Unfinished Chapter with a very special foreword by the late great Bishop Rance Allen. Available now. You can purchase your book at werestoreyou.org.
That's W-E-R-E-S-T-O-R-E, the letter U.org.
On Amazon.com, or you can call area code 708-825-1988.
Area code 708-825-1988.
For an autographed copy, order from werestoreyou.org. Order today. Get ready to enjoy the latest from Prophet Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD. Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Order your copy today.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet Laron Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Great topic, Mother Sidney. Do anyone else have a question or comment on this subject that we're discussing today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we thank God for you all today. Mother Thelma Sidney and myself.
Amen.
We thank to God. We bless the Lord for everyone who's listening in. And once again, I thank God for those who pray for us while we were traveling, sharing the word of God. There's a tremendous need in the land for this topic, Mother Sidney.
Yes, it is.
A need in the land for this type of love, because we need it. We need each other. And all of the suspicions in the world, in the world, people define as love. Thank God we as people have that love, that relationship and that connection. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Of God, the love of God. Well, I thank God for it on today. That love is being displayed on this conference, Lord, and toward each other, and even in the conference, how the love was displayed. From the people of God, we just honor the Lord for you all on today. And his presence being so strongly shared through our walk and our love for God on today. We thank God for it on today. And that's what we need. That song said, that's love. That's the love that he had. That's the love that the Father displayed and showed us as believers. His greatness is love. We thank God for it on today. All right, if you want a copy of today's teaching in its entirety, it's available to you. You can go over to blogtalkradio.com/prophetelymatthews and go into the archive. And you can download it. It's available to you. It's for free. You can have that. It's available to you free of charge. Put it in your archive. Bless somebody else with it. We thank God for Mother Sydney for the hot topic today, stirring up the fire pot today with this subject on love. If we even had great more of it in the earth, we wouldn't have the shootings, the murder, the disrespect. The narrative of the world is so divided right now. We're letting the subject matter, this particular subject matter, divide us all. We're letting it change the way we look, think, and act. Just this subject right here. Look at the world. Look at who's on the forefront of movement. The church used to be on the forefront of the movement. But the church is too busy. They don't even know if they should open the door to close the door that we're building. They so focused on trying to, should we open a church building to close? Well, you should be on the street doing something about what's going on in the community. In a building, trying to worry about who's going to open, who's not going to close. I don't want nobody to get on me when I say this. When people focus it on me, should we do this? Because they said another strand or something is coming. I don't focus on that. I focus on God. My focus ain't another strand. My focus, can I save a person from a strand? Save a person from sin? but because we some of the folks are so... I'd laugh too. Some people sit in front of that television 24 hours a day. Now they sit there 24 hours a day trying to see if they're going to get Donald Trump for January 6th situation. No, they're not going to get him. They ain't got nothing to do with that. That's a whole nother hoax. I even told y'all the stuff was coming before January 6th. Everybody on this conference line from all over who listen in, everything that you see on January 6th, I prophesied that was coming. You go back and look at what I read, told you, what was getting ready to come January 6th. So if I told you what was going to come in January 6th, while y'all sitting there watching this stuff on TV, trying to figure out why I feel sorry for the, let me do that now. No, let me do that since I'm out here. While people die. Being coached to cry and teardrops falling, all these things happen. Let me tell you something. If that was a United States Congress standing there, walking like that, I don't care if you were a black police officer, you still gonna shoot those people. Bottom line. Even white people who I talked to said the same thing. And you know what? If that was You all think that I shot y'all. I know. So what changed the dynamic of the current issue in the land? You follow what I'm saying? And I'm not being biased when it comes to race. I'm just calling truth what truth is. That's what love is. Love ain't gonna sin it. Fall for the okie doke. I ain't gonna fall for the okie doke. What I'm saying, people of God, we're watching. Now, if there's something out there, yeah, you know what it is. You know what's out there for real, people of God? Let me tell you what's out there. You know, besides COVID, Corona, and another strand, it's sin. Those sinners out there killing people. Those sinners out there that are putting that stuff out there. That's sin. That's what it is. That's what it is. Sin. 1.7 million abortions. Half a billion people living immoral lives. Children, human trafficking, experimental drugs, pharmaceuticals. That's what it is. So this what we're dealing with? This chapter 2 of the strand that they saying is out there? Because if it's me, and I went to the United States Congress, didn't y'all tell us in 2020, before y'all, in the obituary year, all of this vaccine was supposed to stop it, and then you said half of America have been vaccinated so we can go back to normal? That's what they said, right on the, that's what the Fox and CNN all said. Oh, we're going to stop the strand. We got people. Now, it's going, the situation is going down. That's what they told. You can Google all the conversation they said. But so how do we all of a sudden, overnight, it increased? All of a sudden, the people that don't have it is battling the people that have it. But the people who don't have it, who asymptomatic, Why would they bother a person who got it or who had it? You ain't symptomatic. Your doctor already told you. You can't get it. So now you in a bad spot. There we go. A world full of confusion. A world full of confusion. Why would you take something that if you asymptomatic from it, why you go out there and say, okay, let me go ahead and take a shot because I need it. But if your body is immune to it, if we take care of our body and be healthy, we got a lot of unhealthy people. I'm just being honest. Unhealthy people. Get up out of your bed and you unemployed, it ain't working. Excuse me, I'm not saying in a negative way. And go walking. And walk a mile. Half a mile every day. Just get up and walk a half a mile every day. Watch what your body tells you. Your body going to start saying thank you. Your body going to start saying I appreciate you. But your body is a divine messenger. Put the put the Mountain Dew bottle down and the Coca-Cola bottle and get a gallon of alkaline water. I don't like water. I can't drink water. Try. Let go of that Kool-Aid, lemonade. Don't pray it. Then you start talking like that to the people, then now they're going to get upset with you. I'm just doing it out loud, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of making a point there. But that's all I want to say. I thank God for people who can endure marriage. Y'all who's able to stay and love your mate through the thick and the thin and the ups and downs. Now, that's love. That's what the song says. That's love. I'm telling you, that's what I'm talking about. I said, now, I look back and say, now, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because that's the love of God. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. Okay. All right, somebody wanted to say something while I was talking.
Prophet.
You said, well,
come on, Daniel. I'm just talking too much. Go ahead.
Papa, you said what was out there in this world is sin. But also what's out there in this world also is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear, it cancels out the perfect love. And people,
oh, you got it. Absolutely.
Fear factor is now that is they so entangled in what the news is saying and seeing what God is saying.
There you go, man. There you go.
And
hit it on the head.
And one of my sisters in the Lord, we were conversing the other day, and, you know, she was just saying that how she had worked the office that she worked in. She worked in the medical field. And she was saying that when it was time for her evaluation and everything, she had already did all the work and everything. Then one of the doctors, the owner of the company, going to say they're going to hold her bonus until she gets the shot. She told him, you can't, you know, that's not right. But they didn't realize that she was, they didn't realize that when he did that, I was like, he can't force you to take something that you may not want. She said, I never told him that he wasn't going to take it. She said, but the thing about it is, when they needed the x-ray machine done, they don't have to call the technician. She knew how to fix the x-ray machine. When something else got broken in office, she knew how to fix that. And when she knew that something else was said to them, she told them, I don't want your money. She said, because I know I worked with you. You didn't have to. She said, the doctor that she worked with said, no, that's the money you owe a car for. She said, basically, she did get her money. But she just said she had to prove a point to them that when the x-ray machine broke down, they had to go call somebody to spend extra money that she knew how to fix. And they had to do this. So then, she said, after she went and got the first shot. She said, then she came home and listened to the news, and then they told, she said, then the news that she was listening to said the people with this other strand coming, the ones that have taken the shot, are more susceptible to getting the second strand. Like, Lord have mercy. This is crazy. She said, what was the purpose of me doing all of that? I said,
that's
see,
what I'm saying. You. There you go.
I'll have to say, Bible stood up.
Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Be anxious for nothing. We need to really, really, and I'm not saying to don't take it. I'm not saying to do take it. What I'm saying is we need to be wise. We need to really hear God and not allow fear to move from our faith.
That's what kept people being slavery anyway. Fear kept people being slaves.
And I was also saying to myself, I said, prophet, if you think about it, now this is I'm really gonna be old school right now.
Mm-hmm.
When my mom and them, I hated taking that Father's John and that 666.
And that cod liver oil.
And all that stuff that they gave us to not have worms. I hated all that. But guess what? We was never sick.
Never sick.
All of those old homes.
And that's what I'm talking about, black community. That's what our community did.
Because
the new age stuff.
Kept us, the goose grease, I ain't never heard of such. Put the goose grease around your neck and all this kind of stuff. And I'm hearing about now. I was like, I ain't had to do all of that.
but I know
that stuff that worked for us, we was never sick. And so when my children I gave them castoria, keep them worms out of them, all other stuff. Gave them fresh
cod liver oil.
Yes, all of that. See, we better go back. We better go back to some of the stuff that kept us.
The remedies.
The old mothers. some old, what we got, they said the old mothers or whatever they wanted to call them, the midwives, even in the scriptures, when they was killing the babies, the midwives knew, moved by God and did what God said. And it saved, I'm going on this, folks don't believe that.
Yeah, it is. So some of the stuff that we use or that was used were important to the lives of our culture. That's our culture. We were healthier. We were stronger. The churches were stronger. The way we dealt with each other was stronger. How we viewed our neighborhoods was stronger. We let too many people come into our neighborhood and our community and change us. When we were disciplined, and even back in the day when Apostle Simmons, you was mentioning that about the discipline, before our parents were beating us like they were beating us and getting those beatings, everybody knew how to discipline the kids before they got to the place of being beat. We had older mothers who know how to take the babies. And even like today in church, and I know they don't do that in church today. You know, when I was growing up in church, when another baby was yelling and they had kids, a mother in the church would say, "Yeah, let me take the baby for you." You see what I'm saying? You go up for, even now when people get prayed and ministered and delivered, half of the young people and the saints are just standing around. They stand around. Somebody would take the little child from that parent while they get ministered to in the church. You remember that? We get the baby. You got to sit there and tell somebody, can you get the baby for the lady? Can you get the baby for the person? Instead of being a nosy thing, can you hold the baby? Half of people don't want to hold kids. I ain't want to go there because I'm going to say that tonight. Somebody get upset with me if I say some of the stuff. Not that I'm scared of y'all, but I ain't. There's something I just don't say for wisdom's sake. But that's what we're seeing in the world. Man, but you're right, fear. And the word of God says, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but power. There it is. Power. And what comes after that? Love.
And a sound mind.
Well, there you go. Because folk mind ain't sound. People ain't got a sound mind. People don't have a sound mind. Not a double mind. They don't have the sound mind. Now all of these strands come in. And that's what they've been saying since 2019, 2016. That all of these things, that's the plan of them to get us to take these shots, to take these chips, to take these things, to now put it on passport, to control. It's a control. And I hate to shock our culture. That's what white America is trying to get us to see. Oh, no, y'all wrong. Well, no, they ain't wrong. Our people are so used to being controlled by culture, controlled by race in every form, because we don't have our own identity. So it's
right.
So that's why you have a lot of jealousy among our people, our culture. Because when you a leader that even stands up against things, you be ostracized. And then all you do is go to their funeral and see them later on. Yeah. Is that the one that talked about you? Yeah. What happened? Okay. Because you try to help them. You try to lead them and guide them. Here we are sitting there, a politician come in our community. What do? we asking them for stuff. Man, you ready to vote. That's what we want you to do. You know, we ain't going to come. You come in our community. We asking you for something, but you coming in our community. Yeah, back in the day. Oh, that politician coming out coming. You ain't asking them. Oh, we need jobs. No, look, man, you gonna get elected. This is what number of jobs we want. Here, this is what we want in our community. If this you can't perform this, then ain't no need of you coming in our neighborhood. Come and sit in our pulpit. We ain't nothing but a bunch. And I don't use the word Uncle Tom, because if you study Uncle Tom, he was way better than what we call Uncle Tom. But the man was Uncle Tom was not a bad person if y'all really study what it is. See, they even took the word Uncle Tom and changed it.
They changed everything.
Yeah, because Uncle Tom was not a bad person. If you look and study Uncle Tom, what he really was, half of y'all need to be just like he were. Stuff we got here, what we call Uncle Tom. Oh, he's Uncle Tom. Well, you better be clapping your hands. Thank God. Now, a sellout, an opportunity, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what we see now, all of this illegitimate stuff going on. As much as you got people with a reprobated mind today or last year. Matter of fact, it was in March. March. Where we at? We're in July, right? March, April, May, yeah. June. Less than 90 days. 90 days ago. 90 days ago, they were telling people, you can go to the restaurant. You can go back to enjoying yourself. How in 90 days everything changed in 90 days in America? And we didn't fail for this stuff. We failed for it. Because you're not getting, I guarantee this, I promise you, if they give you a stimulus check, go watch TV. Another stimulus check. You ain't going to hear no media talk about it, no stress. They're going to slide through the back door and meet with the pharmaceutical industry and the FCC. Not the FCC, the Federal Communication, and say, now, we got to shift things because we know that we got to downgrade it so people can spend all this money. Okay, go. Let's go in there. Let's go to the media. The COVID is getting better. Everybody's going to take off out of their house. All of our people going to take off out of their house. Oh, they said we can run, we can enjoy it again. Come on, y'all, let's wake up. But for 20 years of integration, and who do we see in classrooms, and who do we see in doctor's office, who do we see in community, who do we see run our stores, are running our stores for 20, 40 years? Who's dominating? They are. So that's who we see. So. Our black children, they don't see us in any powerful position. So guess what? They don't respect us. They don't respect us. They don't see you in any position of power and authority. And anybody who walks in power and authority, they target your child. They target your kids. And then any person, and I'm going to speak for me now because I ain't going to speak for nobody else. Anybody in my position who stand up, half of the people ain't going to support me. And then the one that do support me, they don't want nobody to know. And then the other one, they're going to watch from the back door and say, let me see when he's going to fall. We just wait for him. I'm just calling it what it is. But when you telling the people the truth, is what you say. Everybody ain't gonna be. Everybody ain't leaders. As much as they say they are, they ain't leaders. People can't do what I do. To be honest, they can. Hands up, hands down. They can. But they can show criticize me. They can show try to put the stress and pressure on you. They can show talk, but they won't do none of what I can do. But they won't. It's easy to talk about what you do and can do. I got to speak for myself. I'm learning to speak for myself because I don't got nobody going to speak for me. I speak for myself now. I learned to open my mouth for myself, Apostle Simon. Daniel, you're never kidding. I speak for myself. I don't need nobody to speak for me. I'm going to open my mouth. That's what the Holy Ghost told me all while I was in preaching and teaching. God said, you open your mouth, I'm going to give you what to say. Don't close your mouth. And you don't need nobody to speak for you. Open your mouth. Watch what I'm gonna give you what you need to say. Open your mouth. Don't shut down. Open your mouth. Speak. Speak the word. Don't silent. Don't get silent. Because, see, demons understand the word. They understand communication. That's what they are. They are access. They are currency. Open your mouth. Start speaking. Start talking. Start explaining. Start breaking the word of God down. Start talking about it. Start going into history and bringing it to the people. You're going to shock them, shake them, or throw them out. Like, mother, you open up this topic today, and everything we're talking about on this topic is all part of love. People won't even think that. We're talking about the same topic, Mother Sydney, you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
All about love. That's this whole topic is. However, for some people, they don't see it like that. They feel like, oh, you're dividing the people. You're dealing with racism. I'm not dealing with racism. I'm dealing with truism. Racism covers a lot of areas. But you just cover black and white people. Look at what's going on in the Olympics. If people just understand what's happening in the Olympics, these young people, those young people over there in the Olympics, who black people, who Simone is the only one that quit. She realized, you know what? I'm going to win a gold medal for somebody who don't care for me. Look at Osaka. She went over to Japan Saturday. Look at the other two young ladies. Look at the stress that they're getting over there. Look at what happened in 1968 when the brother put up his hand and sold for him. Did y'all know they took his medals away from him? Y'all don't know that. When they sit up there and they raise their hand when they won those gold medals, when they got back to America, America took their gold medals away. People don't even know nothing about that. See, we don't know our history. But it's easy to talk about each other. That's what y'all, I know y'all like what I tell y'all out here, because I be telling the truth, don't I? See, I be breaking it down to people. I be letting you know the truth. I ain't gonna hide nothing from us. I'm gonna preach the word. I'm gonna deal with your social conscience. I'm gonna bring the reality of things alive. I want you to see what you are in church. So that's why Tamika, thank you Tamika for inviting other folks too. And I think Minister Brian, what was her name? The young lady that Tuesday night service, she invited folks. Yeah, 21 years old. You know what I'm saying? You know why? Because stuff that they don't see a father do, here you are being a father, and here half of the saints on here. Have Matthew. Yeah. They man way in a whole different level. Looking at me in another way. Have Matthew. What are you up to? I ain't going to say nothing because I know I'm calling the spade on some of y'all today. When I peek your whole card out, then you get upset. Don't get upset with me because I'm calling you out too. Because when you have the love of God like I do,
mm-hmm.
you hug people, embrace people, talk to people, smile at people, love people, instead of sitting in your second row seat or your 12th row seat looking like, I'm watching how you hug people. I'm watching what you're doing. Come on, let me give you a hug too. If you ain't bipolar, because one day you want to hug me, then the next day you don't. You're up one day down. I ain't got time for that foolishness either. And I'm calling you out too. I ain't scared of nobody. That's what I'm calling people out. I don't worry about that no more. I call them out. The sometimer.
It's the days we'll do, man.
You need to ask yourself, do you really have the love you have? Let me check myself. Yeah, check yourself out. Do you really have the love you have? I didn't know if I should hug you or not. Why? What's the problem? You know, I don't want nobody to think that. Go sit in the timeout corner. You go sit over there with them too. You worrying about that foolishness? Take yourself. Don't even bring me that mess. Go sit in the timeout corner. I don't want to hear that. me and bring me your mess. You just like the rest of them. You see what I'm saying? They want to bring me that foolishness. Go sit over there in Timeout Corner with the rest of the crew. You that fickle-minded. That's what bothers me about this. You that fickle-minded. You just like the rest of these. Take your fickle-minded stuff and sit over in the corner somewhere. These people are fickle-minded. What is wrong with people? It's just a hug. You know, it's a hug person. Who cares? It's a hug. You're not hug. You ain't taking nobody in your bedroom. You ain't going nowhere. It's a hug. Amen. That's what makes me feel sorry for a person. Because I love them, I just feel sorry for them. Okay, I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for him. I just feel sorry. Make me feel sorry. That's all I have to say. Well, I feel sorry for that person. Feel sorry for that person. You think if I want to hug a man of God, a woman of God, a person, I'm worried about somebody? Worried about me hugging nobody? I ain't saying I'm old, but I'm too mature for that foolishness now. I'm way ahead of that foolishness. You take that can of worms somewhere else. When you get too old for that kind of foolishness, don't let that stuff bother you. You don't. So you get good subject, Mother. You brought up a great topic. Thank you so much.
Man, thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm. All the people in the world just need a hug just to feel free. Need a hug just to feel the presence of God. Need a hug just to get into the glory of God. And you worried about somebody. You missing the glory of God because you worried about what some fickle-minded person like you fickle-minded is. You just a fickle as they are. I just got that from my dad, the fickle-minded people. Go look it up. Look up the word fickle-minded. You'll understand what it is. I'm fickle-minded. My dad. Son, that's it. Ain't a bunch of fickle-minded people. You're right, Dad. They're fickle-minded. Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. When the students are ready, the teacher will appear. So you got to be ready for what God is doing. Amen. All right. Minister of the Wisdom, Brian, top of the morning to you, doctors. You got an assignment. We bless God for her on today. She's very active this week with me. Thank you, Dr. Brian. Bless the Lord. Around the city, Montgomery, Metropolitan, Wetumpka, Clanton, you name it, around Alabama, East Alabama, Northwest Alabama, sharing the word of God, still could be in Alabama. But old wisdom tells the young body, take a break right now, and then get back into action. Yeah. I know my leader who put millions of miles on his body over the years of ministry and still got millions of miles on Delta Airlines. I believe they passed it over to Mother Ellen. Millions of miles, 3 miles that he had to travel. Mm. Thank God for those miles. But he's no longer here. So those miles, the body, you put thousands of miles on your body. While everybody was dealing with the economic circumstances and climate of 2020 year, some of you saints of God were still pressing in doing the work of the kingdom, and we bless the Lord for you all too. Yeah. Anything else, Mother Thelma, sitting on your end and the people of God?
Amen. to God. Everything I tell you have been covered. Amen. I mean, we had a broad view of love. Amen. Glory to God. I know love, I always say it's an action word. And we must live it. We must live this thing. We must live it. Amen. And I just think, Apostle Simon, when he came in and he said what he said about it was the attitude was how we got beaten, and it was the something of the slave master, and
because they used that scripture, that scripture in the Bible, yeah, right there.
Spirit, and I think about how. In that time, and when we are born, I think about this. When we are born, glory to God, and where they are at, and what that parent have gone through, is basically being passed down to that other generation, and that's why I think about these generational curses. Amen, because Bible says it's in the bone. It's in the marrow. It's in that DNA, amen, where it has to be what? That person has to be delivered. It's in the bone. It's in the marrow. All, and it's something how it's the spirit of the anti that he gets down in there. And how he, when we say love, amen, and God has given us love, what the taskmaster, what the Antichrist did was opposite. That wasn't love.
Yeah,
that wasn't love. Because when you take a man or a person out of their environment, when you strip them of their identity, when you stop them from doing what they, when you strip them from their culture and stop them from doing what they normally do and bring them to a foreign place and they don't know what to do and they're in a foreign land, of course, fear grips them because, number one, they cannot understand your language. Nor do you understand their language.
There you go.
Why an Atlantic slave trade come across that Atlantic? A lot of them chose to just jump in that ocean.
There you go.
Millions. Taking their babies with them. Millions.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't deal with it. Couldn't deal with it. We don't know what we, that's why I thank God I was born in time that I was born in. We just don't know. We just don't know.
Absolutely not, Mother. We don't.
Poor fathers and mother, what they had to endure. And they did all that they can do. They loved the way they knew how to love.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, because what our parents did, they saw the way they were loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it is your mother and my mother, your ancestors, and I call them ancestors. You look at the movie Help. They all day helping white people's children to make that $1.25 a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of them lied on some of the blacks. And said they stole jewelry and stole stuff and they were stealing stuff.
Yep.
And when they were stealing it, they lied to them so they could make them work for free so they won't get it put in jail. So they were working for free for some of these people. It's the stuff that we went through. And here we are coming to our house. Our mother, my great-great-great-grandmother, she coming to the house after she done worked somebody's house all week, and she come home. She can put her kid in the bed. She had time to really hug her. She's so tired. She's sitting up at the kitchen table seeing you while she's tired. And then the black male, the black men, was so misused and abused. If you even watch the movie Dingo, whatever it's called, look how they did. They put the black man against each other and had them fighting each other to the kill. Look at all that spirit. Those are things that came into our community. So
that's
our culture has to change.
That's right. It does.
You know, in the 70s and 80s, hip-hop music didn't have all of that. Hip-hop started with a rhythm in New York, other parts of the city. Breakdancing. How do we infiltrate calling our sisters hoes and bitches and isses and all that stuff? I know. What y'all get mad about me cussing? That's what they call each other. Because they ain't really cussing. They just calling what it is. Because it's a female dog. Anyway, so we got to see all of this stuff came into our community. So we have to literally retrain our children and our culture to understand the value of our people.
That's right.
Yeah, all that stuff on there, competing and the dogma, they slip that in there. They tell you, oh, you got to put a few words in there because we're gonna, and here we are, got our young people working, making all this money. And in our mind, we don't know a gold necklace, gold bracelet, what do you call it, the Bentley. That was yours anyway. You working for this company, making all these millions of dollars.
You
giving 40% of your money away.
I'm so glad you said what you said about the names and what they listening to. And, you know, and I think about even today, my great-granddaughter, and it was this particular time we were in a pool and I was playing music. And she said, Granny, she said, you just listen to hallelujah music? I said, yep, I just listen to hallelujah music. She said, well, you know, my mama don't listen to just no hallelujah music. I said, I know she don't. She said, you know what she listen to? I said, what? She said, that's feel-good music. I said, what is feel-good music? What is that 5-year-old talking to me, telling me? She said, that's good music. I said, oh, no. Here, that's from her mama. I said, feel-good music. I said, how does feel-good music go? You know, it goes like this. Baby, I want you to stay. Baby, I don't want you to leave. You know, I like the way you make me feel. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, oh, Father. I said, well, sweetie, I want you to listen to hallelujah music. Okay. I said, Granny, Granny going to teach you can listen to some other kind of music, too. I said, but you don't need to listen to that. I said, when your mama listens to that stuff, you don't know nothing about that because you're imitating what your mama doing. I said, because you heard your mama say, you know. I said, hallelujah music is good. I said, it helps you, you know. I said, I'm going to let you teach you about old Mozart, too. She said, who? I said, Mozart. I said, I'm going to teach you about Mozart. I want you to listen to Mozart, too. She said, all right. And so when you have these quality time. That's why I like that quality time with that baby, because I tell you, what the young people say, she give me the 411. I tell you, give me the download, everything that happens.
She probably tell you who's on the download, too.
That's right.
Okay.
People, I mean, these babies now, I mean, they just tell what they live and what they are around and what they hear. And they're just mimicking their mother, amen, saying what their mother say, because, and their parents, you know, if it's a father figure, but their parents are living, what's in their home. And so that's why we have to constantly, you know, that generation is still what? That seed is still, the anti-seed is still being pumped. Here it is, another generation being pumped into that generation. That's why we have to continue to plow in on our grandchildren, you know, plow in the word of God. Continue to keep showing them what's right. Continue to keep telling them what's right and teaching them, amen, teaching them really what love is. What love is, because your children will tell off on you. Amen. They'll tell off on you. Glory to God. I tell you, but I just wanted to share that because you mentioned it. I said, Lord, he is so true. That is truth right there. And it's still prevalent today. That anti-spirit is still here. It ain't gone nowhere. That's why we have to teach the our children what when we rise up in the morning, throughout the day, sitting around the table, walking and talking, wherever you go, you're in the car. You got to teach them about the not just the word of God, but you have to teach them about the facts of life.
Yeah, that's it.
You got to tell them about what's right and what's wrong. And they and some of them ask but why? But why? But why? You know, and I was going to give me an answer. My grandbaby, she keep asking me. She talks about my mother, asks about my mother, about, Granny, you say your mother's in heaven. Okay, were you a little kid? I have to go over this. Every time she come over, I have to talk about my mother. She started talking about my mother. She said, now, that's my great-granny. I said, that's your great-granny. And she's in heaven. I said, yeah. And I said, guess what? I'm going to be there one day, too. She said, but how? She said, so, the same way she went. Or maybe I'll be caught up in the air with the Lord.
Right.
But you know, I said we're not. I said I see your mind being stretched right now. But let's not talk about. Yeah, I said let's not talk about that. Let me just talk about how you could get to heaven. I said for you could see her again. You know, and so that's what it is. She has a great curiosity, and I'm like, Lord, I have to be ready, and we have to be ready for answers. Had a nephew, he was, what, 4 years old, I believe. 3 or maybe 4 years old. He called me, his mother, he asked his mother a question. He asked his mother a question, who is God's parents? Do God have a mother and a daddy? And they immediately, they say, we will call y'all nieces. I sat on the steps about 2 hours explaining this to this baby about God. And when I explained it to him, he asked me about who was the first man born. I told him you mean created or born? Who God created in the garden. I said, okay, born and created is totally different. And I had to tell him, you know, share that with him. A 4 year old, he wanted to know. And then after I told him about it, then I asked him to tell me about it. And he was able to tell me that because I wanted to know if he understand. I said, did you understand what I said? He said, I understood. I said, well, tell me, what did I say? And he gave his understanding of it, and it was correct. And so they want to know. They want to know. They want to know. They want to know. And so when you, like you said, with that curiosity age, and they want to know that information. They want to know, well, how we get here.
Yes.
Ain't no stork brought you here. You ain't come by no bird. You can see is that nowadays. No, I went to the cabbage patch and got you. Cabbage patch. See, that's what they used to say in my era.
Yeah.
I went to the cabbage patch and got you.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, help us. But we thank and praise God, but that's all they knew. That's all they knew, because they didn't know what to do.
Well, Mother, the reality is that culturally, we didn't talk. The church world, they're so scared to deal with the topic on sex. Deal with the topic on all of the, everything has been, in the church where everything has been sneaky, we don't talk about that in the church. But all of these pastors, people, all of these ministry gifts, everybody doing all types of stuff instead of addressing it. We're putting people in these little corner boxes here, and we're creating images that are false images. These are realities, but it's our culture. You know, we don't discuss, or we don't talk about that. We don't. I mean, a lot of the, we didn't, you know, even like today, if a pastor kissed his wife, it looked like everybody in the church backslap. That's the man's wife. That's the man's wife, woman. That's the man, white pastor.
That's right.
And
she right.
get a little corner. Ooh, I kissed my husband. Look, what the heck y'all got married for?
There you go.
What is wrong with the people?
That's right. That's right.
Good Lord like, Almighty. This religion world, is just, everybody is messed up.
It's killing everybody. And putting them in bondage.
What in the world is this all about?
Might as well go back to Egypt, because that's where you at. One thing when you talk about that teaching it in the church, they barely didn't even teach even the singles or the married couples about when they are married. They didn't even know how to discuss that. They really didn't even know how to go into the bedroom. They didn't. And it was so appalling when I stopped going to these married groups that we had at the church when we would have a married couple. They didn't even know how to dress. It's just like they was just on tippy toe talking about intimacy in the bedroom, you know.
Right.
And they
were about
love.
And I was the main one that's talking. Everybody looking at me, you know. You know, some people want to ask topics and questions. Okay. Now, people who are married. Here you are in a married group. Everybody married. Okay.
I'm
married. Raise your hand. Okay. Everybody married. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to talk. We're going to be able to talk about marriages and help each other so we have a good conversation. Right? Yeah. Right, yeah. Then you have some going into tongues. We don't need no tongues right now. We're going to talk about marriage in the English language, okay? Right. Okay. Sister, you still going into tongues. Okay, well, you stay right there then. You go ahead, because you're in your bedroom with your husband. You ain't speaking in tongues. So, but anyway, let's keep going. All right, everybody else with us, right? Okay. When you start talking about the issue, all of a sudden people get trans. They get quiet. They get in their little corner. They buck their ass. Wait a minute, hold on. Are your eyes all right, sister, over there? Man of God, your eyes okay? I'm good. I noticed I said something. Your eyes like they were about to come out of your head. You okay? Is that okay what we were talking about? Because we all married in here, right? Can you raise your hand one more time? All y'all married, right? Everybody married? Yeah, okay. We all married. Okay. Just want to make sure we're in the same place. Man, you begin that. I said, man, look. These are all married people. Yeah. I said, oh. Okay. That's what y'all say. Yeah, can you be like, wow, this is really deep.
Mm-hmm.
This is really deep. Then you talk about topics. And then if you even mention the subject sex in the married couple with couple.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Then,
oh, my God. They couldn't even address that. But even when they were talking about with love, and when you're talking about love, even in the marriage,
different.
You have different age group in the marriage, and people
right.
are at different. Places in the marriage. And so questions talked about love, and I say, and I ask the question, you know, I'm like, okay, when you're talking about loving a man and giving and meeting his need, I said, how far, tell me how far do your love go? I said, does your love change? Okay, when you first get married, okay, you both jump and you both hot. You know, you both intimate. You're both performing. And as the years progress, you're still performing, still performing. I said, but there's going to come a time in life, amen, that when something happened, maybe something happened to the woman might not be able to perform. If something happened to the man, the husband is not able to perform. I said, what do you do? What do you do? Do you stop loving? And when we're talking about love and agape love, I said, what do? When you get to that point, and you know their spouse is frustrated, I said, frustration is on each end. What do? How you address that person? How you? What advice would you give that couple? I said, because that couple, they already know scripture. They don't need scripture. What type of advice would you give them? Because, see, when you're talking about love, love is an action word, but yet love is unconditional.
There you go.
Love him unconditional, even when he cannot perform that way.
That's it, mother.
I still love you, but yet at the same time, God will give you it's a grace. It's a grace. It's more than a grace. I can't even explain it. But God will give you what you need, both of you, what you need at that time. But yet at the same time, glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't believe somebody need to hear this. But at the same time, God will give you, God will grant you your desire. And now this mother Sydney, I'm going to tell you an incident that happened. You all know my husband was sickly. He was very sickly. But yet at the same time, him having a young wife, and his main thing was trying to satisfy his wife, trying to satisfy his wife in that way. And I was like, you good. You okay. God is doing it. And so anyway, I went into prayer. I went into prayer for my husband. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, do this for my husband. I said, for his sake. You know, I said, because God, I said, I'm fine. I said, it's something that you put in me right now because I'm a caregiver. I'm caring for his needs. I'm caring for him. I want him happy. And so I prayed that prayer, prophet, and I tell you, God granted that prayer. And when God allowed it to happen, when we came intimately together, he was just as shocked. He was so shocked. And you talking about the biggest smile on his face because of what? He was able to perform. He was able to give out for himself and yet at the same time meet the need of his wife. And I thank God for that. So both needs was met. And so with love, and we're talking about love and this unconditional love, hallelujah, God will do it. And so, Prophet, that's what they did. They couldn't get to the nakedness of it. And when we don't get to the nakedness of things and just let it be raw, because it's life. Things happen like that in life. And so that those that will come after me, glory to God, those that will come before me, and as I go on and as they progress, they might get in that same situation. And then here it is from others' experience, they could remember what this is what Mother Sydney said she did, you know, from our experiences of love. We're teaching the young and even some of the old that's in there. Well, they just gave up. Huh. I ain't giving up on nothing until Jesus take me home.
See, that's another thing right there, Mother. People don't talk about that topic, and they don't discuss it because they don't know how to discuss it. We're told from the religious world, they've been told that we don't talk like that. Talk like what? You have to talk. You have to have a conversation. You have to be real with your mate and real with her and real with him. Man, my heart, you know, the more I embrace the ability to travel in the world and meet people, it's almost like a lot of the religious world. And I call it the religious world. I ain't calling it the saved world. I'm calling it the religious world. A lot of this stuff in the religious world, literally, I might use the wrong term. But it's kind of makes you a little scary because in the world, we are. You'd be like, man, how in the world that this topic here is an important topic to a lot of saving of marriages and families and value. Somebody, am I talking to real people today?
Amen.
We need some men to really help tell men how to the wife. And how to meet the wife needs. She always meet y'all needs. Let me just leave that alone. Because these preachers, boy, some of them too deep for me. You know, then when you talk about the issue, you know, it's a reciprocal thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, so with a world full of challenges going on, we have to help the people. Because the state of the mind of the people and the things that we see, it's a sad time in the world. It's a sad case. Mother Sydney, it is a sad case. And like you said, the Lord talked to you and he told you what to do. He gave you the wisdom. That's the wisdom you have to share with other people of the generation of the family. Yeah. And guess what? Thank God. We didn't even move off the top. We still on the topic of love. We still dealing with the topic of love here. still dealing with this topic. So somebody will go to sleep on that, go to sleep and feel like they lost. Like, we okay. We still dealing with the topic. So I just want to understand. Understand. Yeah. Just understand. But yeah, you're right, mother. You're so right.
Yeah.
Anyone else got a question for Mother Sydney? You're getting both sides, a male side and a female side today. Yeah, both wisdom side of the matter. Come on in a minute, guys.
I like that point Mother Sydney brought out when it comes to the relationship, and y'all was talking about how many things aren't addressed in the church world, the religious world. I call it the fig leaf syndrome. The Mother Sydney brought it out. A lot of things they want to cover up, don't want to be a naked and unashamed about. And that's where you got to go back to that garden again, because that's what Adam and Eve did. When they had failed, they covered themselves up with fig leaves. And this is what we're dealing with in the church world, man. A lot of things, for centuries and decades, have been covered up. Even though they're doing backdoor deals and things they're doing when it comes to talking about intimacy and sex and all the different things. That's why in our culture, it was still came from no press of sound where the white man, I hate to say it like this, but it is reality, you say prophet, where they raped our women and doing different things. So the man, he felt like he was at a place of where he lost his pride, his strength to protect his family. So they took that mindset on, and they started running out on the wives, messing around with this woman and that woman and doing so many different things while the wife stayed home taking care of, you know, the children, raising the house or being a housewife. So they took that mindset on. But for the dressing from the church standpoint, it's like they cover it up instead of really saying, okay, we need it. I heard you talk about it some time ago, talking about, you know, your dad and them talking to you about the birds and the bees. That's what they taught us, talking about the birds and the bees. We need to know and understand the reality of why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling and why, you know, when I get around this young lady, why, you know, my body's going through changes as older you get. So we didn't have that, you know, that real dialogue, that real talk from our parents to help us in that area, because they didn't have their parents to teach them, to tell them, you know, about certain things. So it passed on from generation to generation, so they cover it up in the church world, especially from that religious traditional standpoint. They cover it up, so the people are not really getting the truth. And we always quote the scriptures where the truth will make you free, the truth will set you free, but really? Are you really telling us the truth? And that's why we always got to go back to the garden, because the lie has been implemented. And that's why the lie is still prevailing today in so many aspects of life. We're dealing with racism, culture, dealing with ministry, church, from that standpoint. Even when you see in our community, you know, it's still a lie, man. I call it Lucifer and ego. He want his ego stroke. That's what? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We deal with that, and that's why man still carry pride. He got that pride. He don't want to let it go. And that's that ego. So it's covering up. So I thank God for Mother Cindy bringing that out about that covering up. And that's what, don't want to be naked and ashamed. Certain things we know that we can't just tell everybody. We know that we got to, like she said, you got to take to God in prayer, because he knows all things. He sees all things, and he hears all things. So when she was just with her situation with her and her husband, took that to God in prayer, he answered her prayers. So he made it work out for both of them. Yes, sir.
Well, there you go. And exactly what you said, it worked out for both of them, because she took it in prayer and God showed her what to do or prepared them. I know a person, and I can say this, I know a person that married an individual and didn't know that the individual couldn't do what perform, I'll put it like that too. And they did not know that this individual had issues with high blood pressure medicine. Well, lo and behold, can I use another terminology? No, I think the lower the hole. I'll stay right there. But now that marriage was total a problem. But one of the person, they had needs. And they said, I didn't get married not to do it. I'm just trying to be careful. Okay, I'm trying to be careful. So, here it is. Now, it didn't get to me until later on. I don't know why, because I guess everybody, when you finally want to just call it what it is, your prophet Matthew's involved, he can help us out. Whatever. Let me just help y'all out. Anyway, what's the problem? So their whole battle of the marriage is on the issue that one couldn't do, the other needed that. So my question is, all right, I took vows. You took vows for better, for worse, sickness and health, sickness and poor, let's go on. They don't want a birthday, yeah, but they should have told them.
That's right.
They should have told them that was going to be an issue.
That's right.
Everybody looking at me with that tone of voice. Yeah, looking at me with that tone of voice. Anyway, so it was a major issue. So
that's right.
The other person felt that the mate betrayed them. They didn't tell them.
That's right.
Now we got to deal with the grounds of the marriage. So here we are. Now you done brought me into it. I said, now you want me to get into this, to the deep. Well, they didn't tell me. So I got needs. Yeah, I know the story though, because everybody comes to the person at the last minute, well, especially me. Now, so I asked the other person, since the other person said the person betrayed them and didn't tell them. My question to them, I said, well, why didn't you tell the pastor? You went and snuck and went off and got married. So they felt, well, they could do what they want to do. I said, well, then they can do what they want to do too. See, you didn't get counsel anyway. So you just as wrong as the other person. We still talk. This is something you don't love, everybody. We're talking about love today. I tell you. Cinderella, that's the name of it. Cinderella, that's the name of it. Well, back to Mother Scripture on 1 Corinthians 13. Here it is. I'm gonna be real careful when I say this. I'm just gonna say I know some people. How about that? I know some people right now in ministry. Been there for years. Their marriage is challenged right now. I like the word. I like the word I'm using right now. Their marriage is challenged right now. And they've been challenged, and they've been in there years in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking to those that were in there, because I only call off the individual. Their thing was, Evangelist Wilkes, and you can put this in your book and talk about it too, is when they got married, they were young. So the question is that I asked them when they got married, they were young, because y'all were following, I'd rather get married than burn. So what you all was getting married when you were young is purely because you wanted sex and you needed the desire. You wouldn't get married for love. One said that to me. Well, we didn't marry for love. We married for sex. Well, here we go again with this issue of the church again. So are these couples getting married because they love each other, or they're getting married because they don't want to burn? Now, is this making sense? What I'm